listen to today's roster report to hear about all the latest Patriots transactions. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Ross Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Training camp is now over, and the Patriots getting ready for their second preseason game against the Cardinals. Today is Friday, August 18th, and you get to hear Brian Lowe, Paul Furlow, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Kyle Pasady talk about everything that's going on with the Patriots roster, including the potential appearance of Junior Seau.
And we're here with the Patriots Roster Report podcast for a Friday in August. Patriots training camp came to a close on Thursday. A pretty quiet close when it comes to team transactions. It wasn't a quiet day on Thursday because Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback, had to answer questions about any potential links that he has to the steroid scandal and Balco. Those are pretty much non-factor. But then a quiet end of training camp became not a quiet end to training camp when reports began to surface that Junior Seau will be coming to the Patriots. Junior Seau is the same guy who retired 4 days ago. He apparently is going to be joining the Patriots to be a linebacker, a position the Patriots are somewhat thin at. We're here with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Kyle Pasady. We do pronounce the P, right?
Yep.
Kyle Pasady. Once you start
knocking on 40, shouldn't we be calling him Senior Seau?
Hey, I was going to use that joke.
Oh, you guys can duke it out for the now line
me
of the
and,
day.
Now me and Andy Hart are thinking
I was
alike.
Sitting on that one, too.
I had a joke, but I was going in a different direction. You said he retired 4 days ago. I'm going with, didn't he retire 4 years ago? Because that's been at least that long since it's been
so clearly
effective.
Everyone is pretty excited about this move, think that it's going to really
I think the cry of Patriots Nation is correct. He's better than Barry Gardner, maybe. So, I mean,
I'm not even convinced of that right now at this stage. Now, obviously, Seau's career, no comparison, but not right now.
The nuts and bolts are...
If you were playing Tecmo Bowl, I think Seau would be much better than Barry Gardner.
He's played 16 years in the NFL.
He's a fine 13, Tecmo Bowl player.
13 years with the Chargers, and he was a 12-time Pro Bowler. The last 3 years, he's been with the Dolphins. He went on injured reserve around middle of last season. I think he only played in about 7 games.
He played in 8 games the year before
Only 15
you know
games
why?
The last 2 years.
Because he's 40. That's what happens when you're 40.
That is what happens when he's 37,
years,
I believe,
right?
36 or 37. 15 games the last 2 years.
2 years,
when he announced his retirement earlier this week, it was pretty clear that he was not really happy about having to end his career, saying that, no team really wanted him, no team needed him, not I'm ready to hang it up. Well, apparently the next day or in the ensuing days, a team decided they need him and want him, and that would be these Patriots and head coach Bill
another
Belichick.
Another telling sign.
Yeah, I even thought it was
teams want him.
Yeah, I thought it was even stranger. He said that there were teams that wanted me, but there was no team that really needed me.
Right.
And
needed him to win,
yeah.
I thought that was part of the quote.
It was almost like he was looking, I'll go to one specific spot where I feel like I can be a difference maker and put a team over the top or something. I just thought it was strange.
Yeah.
And, if there was interest in him and he wanted to play,
then play.
Why didn't he go back and play?
And what happened?
And don't go through all the pomp and circumstance of going to San Diego and holding a big press conference. I'm retiring and I'm great.
If
I'm going out a Charger.
This is one specific thing, and he thinks this is one chance that he can win a Super Bowl. And I think the Patriots have a chance to win. Don't get me wrong. I'm questioning maybe his motives for coming back.
And Paul,
if teams wanted him and he wanted to play, why did he wait till now to come to an ideal situation? I wonder if how much he really wants to play.
And that becomes a factor because we how old he is obviously relevant. But also relevant is we've seen Chad Brown play the same game where, he's an experienced linebacker, just learning, looking to win in one of his final seasons, and he fell flat on his face. Junior Seau played 1 year for Nick Saban, so are we to assume he's just going to come in 2 weeks before the regular season, fit right in a 3-4 on the inside when he played a 4-3 outside backer for a lot of time?
Yeah.
I don't just assume that.
I think it's this hunger thing's all overrated. I'll use the same guy, Eddie George. I'm sure Eddie George is still hungry. Do you want him? What I mean? And I just think this whole Seau putting him over the edge, I'm going to guarantee you this. The Patriots' record at the end of the year would be the same with or without Junior Seau, regardless of what he does.
And keep in mind, as we record this, this has not become official. It's imminent. Perhaps the reports were that he was flying to New England late Thursday night, maybe a red eye, and it was only the passing of a physical away from actually signing this contract. So, we'll see how this plays out in the next 24 hours or so and if he's around
and
next week.
The more telling thing here could be Teddy Bruschi. I mean, is this...
And Monty Beisel.
Well, that's already told the story.
I think that story's been told.
But is Brewski, could he be out longer than first anticipated?
Right.
And they're going out. Chad Brown too. Is Chad Brown in serious? Right.
And we've definitely heard reports that the 1 month he'll be back in time for the opener, we're a little bit optimistic, and that there's chances that it's 6 weeks or more, and some as many as 12 to 16 weeks.
Yeah.
So that was optimistic to think he was going to just have surgery and be back for the regular season.
Let me ask you guys this. The starting linebackers opening day, Colvin, Seau, Vrabel, Banta, Tully Banta, Kane.
Kane, Tully Banta?
Tully Banta.
Seau doesn't start. Gardner, Vrabel, Banta, Kane, Colvin, Seau comes off the bench.
Well, the thing is, the players who are in the mix, specifically at inside linebacker right now, are virtually entirely comprised of players playing out of position, mm-hmm. rookie free agents,
right.
and players who are, like a Barry Gardner who's a special teams guy or in a different system.
And now add recently retired linebacker.
There's virtually no one who is healthy right now who is an experienced inside linebacker in a 3-4, correct?
Correct.
100% correct. No analysis needed.
No.
I mean, I'll say we're questioning, and I think we're all right to question how much Junior Seau has left. But I do think, as Tom pointed out, it's an indication of just how dire the straits are here. And I think it's probably a good move for the Patriots.
Yeah, I
don't
want to
make it sound like I'm saying what the heck are they thinking about here? Because I do think it's terribly thin area, and they need some players. Who knows? Maybe you catch lightning in a bottle, and he can give you, even if he gives you a half a season of good football, that could help.
Yeah,
I mean, that could really help. And obviously the guy has the ability or had the ability at one time to play. I think it's a good move for the Patriots. They really don't stand to lose much. I think that Tom's
point. Why didn't he do it earlier?
Yeah, I think Tom's point about your record will be the same. He's not going to cost you games. He's not going to be that bad.
He's not going to win you games.
He's probably not going to win you any. But there's always that off chance that he has a flashback to 1998 and he can help you.
Was this considered earlier than this week, you think, by the Patriots? Bring in Junior Seau?
I'm sure they had his name on a list and discussed it.
You're going to have to ask Bill that.
It was in play yesterday when
the
press conference
right.
was late getting started.
I think Tom's right. You had Teddy Bruschi change in his status. You had Monty Beisel change probably in their minds as what he... I think they probably held out hope, as I did this spring, that Monty Beisel year two next to Teddy Bruschi is a better... proposition than it was a year
earlier. Instead, you saw him next
healthy,
to Freddie Roach.
I think they're assuming that Brewski is going to be part of this defense for most, if not all, of the regular season. They haven't ruled out the regular season opener for him yet.
Right, and I mean...
No, Kyle. Would you had something?
He's
you
waving
no,
his
I was just going to say, when Andy was talking about Beisel, that he looked really good coming into the season or into the training camp, and he felt good about his weight.
He just hasn't done anything in camp, and now is relegated to not practicing or practicing with the twos and threes.
Well, Beisel was certainly seen as a candidate before training camp came in as someone who just struggled in his first year in the system, maybe didn't grasp it right away. But why rule out the possibility that
he
could?
Coming into camp, I'd bet you any amount of money he would start an opening day. Now I'm betting any amount of money that he's cut.
I think Bill Belichick would have made a bet that he was one of his opening day starters at linebacker. They learned he probably isn't.
And like they always say, things change during camp.
It's a long month.
Changed for the better.
They don't make that up when they say at the start of training camp, there's a long way to go to the regular season. These are the kinds of things that happen and can make a difference between a team and how they're made up.
It's when you talk about depth and all that stuff, and Bill says, depth on paper, depth doesn't mean anything in July.
Right.
He couldn't be more right.
Tom, you threw out the starting linebackers. Why don't we throw out the possibility of a starting defense that includes four defensive linemen and three linebackers, with maybe Mike Vrabel, Junior Seau, and Roosevelt Colvin as your starting linebackers?
Possibly.
Well, if you build the defense around the personnel, then that's what you're going to have to
have.
I mean,
who knows?
Hey, the coach isn't opposed to doing anything.
The line looks good.
Somebody might ask me that.
just curious.
I'm going to put Mike Vrabel on the inside because he knows the defense with Colvin and Seau on the outside.
In a 4-3.
Basically, the main question here.
Mike Vrabel, he can do everything else.
The main question as we close the Seau topic is, will there be a linebacker wearing the number 55 on this defense this year?
Yes.
That's really what it comes down to.
Do you think he gets the number?
Well,
why not? William McGinnis been bad-mouthing the team. We'll show you. We'll give away your old number. Right.
I want to turn to another sort of intriguing topic, and that would be Willie Andrews, 7th-round draft pick, who
was a cornerback and special teams guy, but he started to open up some eyes a couple days ago in training camp when he was playing the role of Larry Fitzgerald on the scout team at wide receiver.
A lot of similarities there in size.
A lot of similarities
Wait,
in size.
And talent.
And then
you should take a rocket shot at him.
And then the day that Bill Belichick was asked about Willie Andrews at wide receiver during his press conference, and obviously, as is customary, he wouldn't give up
any information.
He made fun of the questioner. Later that evening,
Willie Andrews took the field in a white
offensive number 38 jersey. And the final two practices of training camp, he was exclusively at wide receiver and also kickoff returns. What do you make of this, and do you see him as a legitimate candidate to be a wide receiver on this team?
No.
Well, I got to tell you the guy hasn't dropped a ball on a kick return or a punt return or
sure
a pass
that's
really
true.
Anyway.
Sure
I mean, he's got great hands.
Neither does the two things
wide receivers need to do are get open and catch the ball. Can he get open? Well, they've got to wait and see.
You guys are being comical here now, aren't you? I mean, we're expecting.
Why would they waste their time in this?
Willie Andrews to contribute at wide receiver.
But
I think there's a good chance he will.
Give the Miami Dolphins a division crown.
Because I think he's going to be your
Why they wouldn't waste their time trying this if they didn't think that there was a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But
at this time in 2004, would you have laughed at everybody to say Troy Brown will legitimately contribute as a defensive back this year?
But I don't think Willie Andrews.
You would have laughed about it.
That's
Willie
true.
Andrews,
you would have laughed about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which different players we're talking about. You would have laughed it off and said, if that happens, give the division to whoever you thought was the second place team then. And they went on with him as a contributing defensive back and won the Super Bowl.
And Troy Brown as a defensive back is equal to Willie Andrews as a wide receiver. Both are nothing.
You're
not comparing Willie Andrews as a corner and Troy Brown as a receiver.
You're talking about plan, D, E, or F here. You're not talking about, I'm going to open my season with three wide with Caldwell, Brown, and Willie Andrews.
Right.
Willie Andrews plays receiver if and only if you lose, two guys in a game and Deion Branch never comes back, and Chad Jackson's hamstring needs to be amputated. And once again,
give the division to the Miami Dolphins.
But I mean,
my point.
To say that he's not going to
totally agree with that either. I've seen this team get by with people out of position.
I'm not making that
too many
I'm not
times.
Saying that either.
All I think is Willie Andrews is a better option as your fifth receiver, cornerback, and return man than keeping Kelvin Kite or Caron Henry just because they say wide receiver next to him on the depth chart.
1,000% agree.
I'd
put Bam Childress in that situation too, because this guy, in my opinion, from what I've seen in camp, has the ability to play, and I don't think those other guys are NFL players.
He's proven himself as much as an NFL cornerback as he has as an NFL wide receiver. It's a clean slate in terms of what he's done on the NFL level.
Both are irrelevant because he's going to contribute as a return man.
Well, sure.
That's where he's
maybe as of right now, the Patriots have looked at what he did in practice for 2 days and said, you know what? Maybe there's some potential there, but it's just not worth our time 3 weeks before the season to completely groom as a wide receiver. We'll never see him there. Who knows? But it was worth the chance based on what they have in the mix right now.
All right, so we got a 40-year-old retired guy playing linebacker, and we got a seventh-round cornerback playing receiver. Looking good.
You still think they're going to win the Super Bowl?
People don't listen to the PFW in progress as well as the podcast. Tom changes his tune both days.
I do think no, but you were talking about different things. I do think they're a strong candidate to win the Super Bowl. I just don't think these two things right here are going to make much of a difference.
Right. Well, okay, so the two main things here are Junior Seau and Willie Andrews. As we wrap up training camp and go into the second game, who has some thoughts on where the team is right now and, who on the roster has a chance to make a difference in the second game?
What?
I think
preseason game we're talking about?
The second preseason game.
Lawrence Maroney, I think it's a big night for him this week. Bill Belichick
blitzes.
Talked all week about how much they're going to blitz. We get to find out if Lawrence Maroney, who didn't do a lot of pass pro in college, is ready to step on the field opening night and protect Tom Brady, and we can help learn that Saturday.
It'll be a good look at some of the guys who are filling holes on the offensive line, too, with Copen out still and Kazier still. Nope, he's not around.
Yeah, so. The guys, the rookies for sure, with Stevenson and O'Callaghan, Brandon Gore.
O'Callaghan certainly looks to be entrenched as the number one guy now.
I'd be
very surprised to see him not be out there, barring an injury or anything, to see him not start opening day. I mean, he looks like he's the guy. And just to add to Andy's point, this is a quick defensive line Bill talked about all week that blitzes on almost every play. Tom talks about Dennis Green being, a crazy SOB, and playing these preseason games, 100% to win. That's a great test for, a rookie, fifth-round pick who Kyle has in the Hall of Fame.
Right. I don't have him in the Hall of Fame, but would you guys agree that Matt Light isn't dominating? The guys they have aren't dominating. O'Callaghan might be a guy that could be dominating.
He could be a mauler, one of those, 6'5",
6'7".
I mean, he's huge. He's
played up to 360 at times.
You know, he could be one of those guys that you talk about as a franchise tackle down the road if he can put it all together, because he certainly has the measurables.
And all the talk on him was he has the measurables. It's how good does he want to be and put it together. And be interesting to see. But, yeah, I think he has the upside. We talked a lot in the offseason about Ellis Hobbs maybe having an upside because Asante Samuel is what he is. I agree with you. Matt Light is what he is. He's a mediocre average left tackle. Ryan O'Callaghan has some upside.
I get yelled at for talking about Willie Andrews playing receiver, and he's got Matt Light being mediocre.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Matt Light is a middle-of-the-road left tackle. I think that's where his ranking is, actually. I think he's a 16th-ranked left tackle in according to those stats.
I was going to say, who ranks left tackles?
I think well, they do all the pressures and that kind of stuff.
I think
their
Matt Light's
system.
Pretty good.
I don't buy all the numbers, but they're out there.
Well, it seems like
Brandon Gorin's mediocre.
It seems like
mediocre as a backup.
As a backup,
I'm just saying,
who can play six positions,
I think Matt
Light's
pretty good.
I think Steven Gostkowski, it seems, is going to get all of the kicking duties on Saturday.
Yeah,
it's over.
I saw that
It'll
report
be
in the paper. Where did that stem from?
I don't know. It didn't really
You know,
source,
what I think it came from is Grammatica just hasn't been kicking that much in the last, what, 2-3 days?
It seemed like it was fact. I mean, when it was written,
it was reported as fact. But
and
I'm
if
wondering.
That's true, you know, last week was in a dome. This will be his first chance outside in his home stadium. Maybe there's some wind. Who knows? We'll see what he. We'll
so
see
much
what he
for the non-20 minute podcast.
It's been less than 20 minutes. It's been about 16, and we're going to wrap it up right now.
And
at
I
that.
Said we would go under Junior Seau's playing years, and he's playing.
Well, quick, let
years.
Me wrap it up for Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Caselli, and Kyle Pasady. I'm Brian Lowe, wrapping up the roster report. We go back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for an all-new roster report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.